Now, have you ever wondered, like I have, for sure, as I mentioned at the top of the program, what do those little birds, like little chickadees and blue jays and sparrows and all those, how do they survive some of those real severe winters? Although, you know, today, obviously, that's hard to believe because they're chilling. They're looking for cool. But when the temperature drops to, say, you know, minus 25 degrees, and we're indoors looking out there, and the wind is just a howling, and everything is white and frozen, and like, where and how? How do these little creatures survive? Well, hopefully to shed some light on that is Ted Chesky, and he is a birding expert from Nature Canada. Nature Canada is the oldest nature charity in the country, by the way, and has a history of supporting the protection of parks and wildlife areas, among other things. And so we want to put these questions to him. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Good morning, Angelo. I'm just fine, thank you.
What an incredible piece of weather we're having right now. Must be great for birds. They must love this.
I'm actually in the Ottawa area, so it's not quite so nice here. But But I'm,
right.
I'm
well,
glad I talked to my brother this morning in Milton, and he said it was a lovely day there. So
it's crazy. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. But that's, you know, the question I've been asking all morning is exactly that. What do these little creatures do when it's just howling out there? How do they survive it?
Mm. Well, as you know, I think most of the birds that are here in the summertime leave. So you know, they got kind of two choices. One is to migrate and get out of Dodge, and the other is to kind of stick around and tolerate it. So about 80% of the species in Canada leave our borders and go south by the billions. But the ones that stick around here they're adapted to surviving tough conditions in the winter, and they all have different strategies for that. But you know, generally they're omnivores, so they can eat both plant food and insects that they can find hiding in the bark, and they conserve their energy. Birds like you mentioned, chickadees and blue jays, they eat food that has high fat content, so it has a lot of energy, and they don't waste a lot of energy as well. So they all have you know, their strategies to doing that.
Now, we talked to Dr. Stephen Cook earlier on, our fish expert, and of course he was talking about fish being cold-blooded and how they live under the ice and how they survive our winters. Now, birds are not cold-blooded, so they're much more like us, right?
They are. In fact, their body temperatures are actually warmer than ours. They're about 39, 40 degrees Celsius. So, you know, so the ones that are around here, it's quite incredible. Certainly out in the northern parts of Ontario or eastern Ontario, we can get really cold weather, and I know Toronto can get cold as well. So their feathers are obviously pretty important for as insulation, and really cold days you'll often see birds puff out their feathers as a way of trapping heat. But it's that down coat that we all seek to buy to survive the cold weather. They've got that all the time. As I said, they also eat high food that's high in fat content, and then the exposed skin, the parts of their body that are exposed are very small. Birds have very, very small, thin legs, and the species like waterfowl that spend time standing on ice and so on, they actually have a different vascular system than us sends the hot blood from the arteries on the outside, and then the vein system that brings the blood back to the heart is on the inside, so it gets pre-warmed before it goes back in. So they have all these incredible adaptations to survival.
Wow. Ted, can you stay with us for a couple of more minutes? I have to take a quick break. And
absolutely. I'd love to.
All right, sit tight. Ted Chesky on the line with us from Nature Canada, calling us today from Ottawa. Talk to us about our little feathered friends, how they cope from October to, say, May. More journal after this, don't you dare go away. What? Thank you. You scared me there. I didn't hear anything.
Oh, well,
you're normally quicker than that.
Little birdies.
Oh, the birdies.
With their face feet up. And
you were setting the mood. That was mood music. I did not know that. All right, let's start that again. Ah, beautiful. See? Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're kind of laid back today. As you can tell, the weather has got us in this weird mode. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Andrew Holland. Andrew, we could go with Andrew. Why not? Jessica Ellis, all working for you today, shepherding you through the outdoors, as it were. Okay, you can cut the music now. It's enough. On the line with us, Ted Chesky from Nature Canada in Ottawa, Ontario, and he is a birding expert. We have him on the program to find out what happens to our little feathered friends during the winter season. How do they cope? How do they survive? Is there such thing as bird hypothermia or frostbite, Ted?
It's interesting. The chickadee, this is another coping mechanism that that some birds have, and the chickadee has been really well studied. It's able to lower its body temperature to basically become hypothermic to present heat loss. So they're able to regulate their temperature that way on really, really cold nights. It is possible. Another thing they do behaviorally is chickadees and some small birds, they nest in cavities like holes in trees and stuff, old woodpecker holes, and they'll go in groups. So several of them will go in on really cold nights to kind of help add to the source of heat. I once saw this with a little bird called a winter wren, and I saw one after another go inside a leaf nest of squirrels just right as the sun was setting, and it was in December, quite an amazing thing. But I've seen I'm a bird bander as well, and I've caught mourning doves in the winter time, and mourning doves don't have some of those adaptations, and often in the winter, really cold winters, they will lose digits on their feet to frostbite. So they do definitely suffer from that.
Wow. Who knew? And we were just talking in that break about birds, waterfowl that now winter here, like the Canada goose, et cetera. And it's not unusual to see them, you know, even in freezing water.
No.
In the wintertime. You would think that would be instant death. But obviously
it
not.
It would be for you and me.
No kidding.
That ducks and geese, their adaptations are really good. You know, all the geese and ducks and everything, they pretty much clear out of our area because there's no open water. But as long as there's open water and a source of food, they're very good at tolerating cold. You know, even up in Hudson's Bay, there are species of sea ducks, the eiders and some scoters, but especially common eiders that stay there. They find these areas where there's open water circulating, and they stay there over the winter, and they're able to feed on mussels and things like that. So that's why we use eider down, I guess, in down coats.
Earlier in the program, we talked about fish winter kill, winter mortality. How does it affect birds? Do we have a big kill-off every winter for those that stay, the birds that do remain here?
I guess it depends, but I think last winter was instructive with answering your question, because at least in a lot of Canada, it was a very, very long, drawn out winter, and it didn't seem to end until almost May, really. Right. And as soon as you go into kind of cottage country and go into the north, there was ice on lakes to the end of May and snow in the bush quite late. And if you go further north, it was very, very tough. So the consequence of that is there's a lot of, I mentioned before, there's about 80% of our species and a lot more higher percentage of individuals that leave the country every year. And when they come back, they've got a pretty short window to reproduce. And if that window is even closed a lot more, then that means they might not be able to reproduce. And in this past fall, one of the things that a lot of programs that monitor birds and bird observatories, they noticed a lot fewer birds, which is a huge concern, you know, where birds are in a major crisis right now.
Right.
We lost about 3 billion birds in the last 50 years, according to science. So we have a year like this that it has a really big impact on populations. It's hard for species to recover. So the winter, a hard winter, that makes the breeding season shorter is very, very tough. The birds that are around here, they're kind of built for handling it. Of course, weather in eastern Ontario, we're having freezing rain today. We're going to have a long bout of freezing rain, and that makes it really hard. And, my advice to people who feed birds is that now's the time you got to be making sure there's good sources of high fat food like oil, sunflower, and stuff like that, and suet out for the birds to help them get through these tough moments.
Tough moments, certainly. How in the long run, though, how do you think this warming is going to affect birds? Do you think it's beneficial? Do you think it's going to be an issue for them as we get warmer? Obviously, what we're experiencing right now in southern Ontario is very real. And most people think that it's here to stay. So how's this going to affect these animals?
Yeah, I think the effect is going to be, with climate change is not just steady warming. It's unpredictable weather, and it seems like the trend is that gradually the seasons are going to get shorter and a little bit warmer. And we're already seeing the response of this. We have a lot more robins, and we have eastern bluebirds. We have a lot of species that are gradually able to adapt and move a little bit further north. Mourning doves, I mentioned them. So we have some species expanding their ranges north in response to this, but climate change really also means unpredictable weather. So being in the middle of that, we can have a really, really tough cold winter. We can have these bouts of freezing rain, and that, I would say on the sort of the bigger picture, is much harder on populations. Gut populations are already threatened, bird populations, by habitat loss and cat predation and window collisions and all of these different things. And often it's a major weather events that are kind of like the straw that breaks the camel's back for a lot of species. So I think, while some species will definitely expand and maybe benefit, I think overall the result is going to be very bad for bird populations.
Wow. Okay. That's just another, as if it wasn't bad enough for them now with the, 3.8 billion that we've lost?
It was 2.9 billion since 1970, fewer birds. Crazy. Which is about a quarter of all the birds that have been lost. Crazy. So it's really alarming, and that's why we do our work at Nature Canada.
NatureCanada.ca is a great place to get all your information with regards to birds and birding, and any questions that you may have, I'm sure, can be answered there. That's NatureCanada.ca. Ted, thank you very much for joining us.
Angelo, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Ted Chesky from Nature Canada in Ottawa, Ontario. A lot of information about birds. And, we just take them for granted, right? We just look out the window and there they are. And
it's chirping away.
Yeah, like you playing the little birdie song thing there. Just like you take, all this stuff for granted.
That's true.
But they have a hard life.